This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Of course, it's a Medal of Honor Monday. We have a ton to get to this hour. We're going to talk a little bit more about the walls fiasco. We're going to talk about the GOP denouncing things again already, allowing them to frame the debate. There's so much more emails, so much coming up this hour on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. But you know what time it is. It's the start of the second hour on Monday, so it is officially Medal of Honor Monday time. Every Monday at this time, we take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. That's it. We just read it. Sometimes we discuss the history around it, but this stuff matters. Remembering the men matters. Remembering their deeds matters. It creates a better culture. Culture is just what your society incentivizes versus what it disincentivizes. You want a society full of freaks? You want a society packed full of people who talk like this?
Why are y'all voting for Kamala Harris?
I don't want to lose my rights. Like, I'm a trans man and I'm gay and I have been pregnant and I've had an abortion before and I don't want to lose that.
What influences were in that person's life? Bad ones. Now, you could listen to a bunch of filth and turn out like that, or you could listen to the Medal of Honor citation from a Mr. Paul William Buca, U.S. Army, Vietnam. Here it is.
Ready, aim,
fire. Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Captain Buca distinguished himself while serving as commanding officer, Company D, on a reconnaissance in force mission against enemy forces near Phuoc Vinh. The company was inserted by helicopter into the suspected enemy stronghold to locate and destroy the enemy. During this period, Captain Buca aggressively and courageously led his men in the destruction of enemy fortifications and base areas and eliminated scattered resistance impeding the advance of the company. On the 18th of March, while advancing to contact, the lead elements of the company became engaged by heavy automatic weapon, heavy machine gun, rocket-propelled grenade, claymore mine, and small arms fire of an estimated battalion-size force. Just to let you know, that means they probably had three or four times as many as Captain Buca had. Captain Buca, with complete disregard for his safety, moved to the threatened area to direct the defense and ordered reinforcements to the aid of the lead element. Seeing that his men were pinned down by heavy machine gun fire from a concealed bunker located some 40 meters to the front of the positions, Captain Buca crawled through the hail of fire to single-handedly destroy the bunker with grenades. During this heroic action, Captain Buca received a painful shrapnel wound. Returning to the perimeter, he observed that his unit could not hold its position and repel the human wave assaults launched by the determined enemy. Captain Buca ordered the withdrawal of the unit elements and covered the withdrawal to positions of a company perimeter from which he could direct fire upon the charging enemy. When one friendly element retrieving casualties was ambushed and cut off from the perimeter, Captain Buca ordered them to feign death and he directed artillery fire around them. During the night, Captain Buca moved throughout the position, distributing ammo, providing encouragement, and ensuring the integrity of the defense. He directed artillery, helicopter gunship, and Air Force gunship fire on enemy strong points and attacking forces, marking positions with smoke grenades. Using flashlights in complete view of the enemy snipers, he directed the medical evacuation of three ambulance loads of seriously wounded personnel and helicopter supply of his company. At daybreak, Captain Buca led a rescue party to recover the dead and wounded members of the ambushed element. During the period of intensive combat, Captain Buca, by his extraordinary heroism, inspirational example, outstanding leadership, and professional competence, led his company in the decimation of a superior enemy force, which left 156 dead on the battlefield. His bravery and gallantry at the risk of his life are in the highest traditions of military service. Captain Buca has reflected great credit upon himself, his unit, and the U.S. Army. And while he survived that and lived a long life, we actually just recently lost Captain Buca on July 31st. So a couple weeks ago, at the age of 80, he passed on. And I think it'd be appropriate to play taps for that man, don't you? We'll get back to politics in a minute. I just want to touch on a detail that stood out to me in that story. One that may have just, everyone's going to hear things with a different ear, right? But I told you we did some training in the jungle. I never went to war in the jungle, right? We did a bunch of jungle warfare training when I was in the Marines. And the main place we did it was Thailand. And it hit us when we were in training, when we were in the jungle in training. We'd be humping through the jungle and you're hacking your way through the jungle and there's bogs and there's mud and there's deadly spiders and there's everything under the sun. But we would look around and we constantly reference the Vietnam guys. We have such reference for Vietnam guys. And we would look around just blown away that people fought in that environment. And it's not just because of the environmental misery with the leeches and the mosquitoes and the crap like that. It's because you can't see anything. There is so much greenery. There's just so much going on. You can't see. And we used to remark, we would be walking by. I mean, everything's thick, right? Everything's super thick. We would walk by and we'd point and we'd be like, how would you even know if there was an enemy right there ready to stay? You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. And the Vietnam guys went through this, and a lot of the World War II and the Pacific guys, the Marines and Army guys who fought on that went through this. So get this. You want to talk about just marching into death and you have no idea about it? So the Japanese in World War II and the Vietnamese did this exact kind of thing because everything grows really fast. It's tropical and hot and humid, green, right? So they would make a bunker that was essentially, they'd bury it down into the ground, and then you'd have a little bit sticking out above the ground. Okay, so you have like a slit where you're going to put your weapons, where you'll shoot from, okay? And then what do you put on top of that? Well, you put some steel or logs or whatever you put, so you have a roof. But then, this is the kicker. On top of that, what you do is you'd grab a bunch of soil. You'd grab a bunch of topsoil, and you'd throw dirt on the ceiling of it. What happened from there? Within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the bunker becomes completely invisible to the naked eye because the dirt you threw on top of it things would grow out of it. You'd have greenery and vines pouring out of the top. So you are essentially in a bunker that is buried into the earth and completely invisible to the naked eye. And at one point in time, I'm gonna miss the passage here. Fire estimated. On March 18th, while advancing to contact. Do you know what that is? That's a wonderful term, as every Vietnam guy listening knows what that means. You know what advancing to contact means? It means you know there are bad guys in this area. Hey, everybody gather up in formation and start walking. When someone gets shot in the face, one of our guys, you'll know we've made contact and it's time to battle. That's essentially what you advance until you get shot at. And they did this, and you walk in that environment, you just walk right into things, you can't see them. And I've always had so much admiration for those guys. And every one of you, I know there aren't many World War II guys left. Obviously, you guys, salute to you, but you Vietnam guys listening to me right now, I just want you to know how much I respect you, all right, for whatever that's worth. Now, along those same lines, let's touch on this walls thing a little bit more. Eric Holder was in charge of the vetting. It's getting worse for walls. Let's talk about that. You know, speaking of Vietnam veterans, you know, Pure Talk's CEO is a Vietnam veteran. Did you know that? Not something he actually likes talking about. In fact, pretty annoyed that I keep bringing it up. But it matters to me, and I know it matters to you a lot. The guy is so passionate about America, he hires Americans. No one does that anymore. When you get a hold of someone at Pure Talk to switch your cell phone service, not only is it easy, it's easy in part because you get to speak to an American who speaks English. You realize that? They hire American citizens right here in America. And your bill goes down. My bill got cut in half when we switched to Pure Talk. In half. You don't need AT&T. You don't need Verizon. You don't need T-Mobile. Switch to the mobile company that actually shares your values. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email us love, hate, death threats, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I do want to get to some emails here. We just finished up Medal of Honor Monday. Remember, if you missed that, if you missed any part of our show, go download it, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Jesse, feeding off your Friday show, and how could Walls have been vetted at best as the best VP pick? My understanding is that former Obama AG Eric Holder is who conducted the vetting. I think that's all we need to know. What's your thinking on Holder / Obama steering the VP pick? His name is Gene. Okay, well, first, obviously, a lot of this comes back to my undying hatred for Barack Obama. Barack Obama is the worst thing that has ever happened to this country, because Barack Obama is the first, by my recollection, the first and only president we've ever elected who really genuinely hates it and wants to burn it down. We've had good presidents and bad presidents. We've had Democrats and Republicans and everything in between. By my reading of history, we've never had one who thinks it's his mission to burn the place down. So much so that Obama is still heavily involved. And I've brought up this point. I'm going to bring it up again. Former presidents. Name the former president who stays deeply involved in politics. You can't name one in my lifetime because none of them did. Jimmy Carter, somehow he's still alive. And yeah, I realize he'll put out a statement now and then. He's not out there giving speeches and campaign. He's not doing that. Bill Clinton. Exact same thing. Yeah, he'll get up and he'll speak at the convention. He's probably going to speak at the next convention. So once every 4 years, they'll bring out old Bill and he'll speak. But he's not really heavily involved in politics anymore. It's not what he's doing anymore. Bush, really either of the Bushes. Again, maybe a speech here or there, but they're not involved. They're just, once you're a former president, you're done. You're checked out. Until we got to President Barack Obama. Obama did 8 years and then didn't even leave D.C. Heavily involved in communist politics to this day in this country, steering things, guiding things. So as far as him and Holder being in charge of the VP vetting, well, everyone knows this isn't Dome's campaign. Everyone knows Biden didn't drop out on his own. I mean, gosh, Biden, this is all being orchestrated by people like Barack Obama.
Look, the polls we had showed that it was a neck and neck race. Would have been down to the wire. But what happened was a number of my Democratic colleagues in the House and Senate thought that I was going to hurt them in the races. And I was concerned if I stayed in the race, that would be the topic. You'd be interviewing about what?
Yeah, whatever. The system decided Joe Biden had to go, so Joe Biden left. The system decided Dome would be really the only viable option to replace him. After all, when you tell the president he can't run again, you kind of have to pick the vice president. So they decided Dome was the one who was going to be the guy, or the gal, I guess I should say. But Dome, just like Joe Biden, Dome doesn't have any real power, and Dome isn't making any decisions about anything. She's not even really allowed to make any decisions about anything. This is all the George Soros, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi. This is all that world. These decisions are made above and beyond any of the bit players like Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. So when it comes to VP, Dome isn't going to get any say-so in this at all. Dome may not even have known who Walz is. She may barely know who he is now. If you listen to her talk, she certainly doesn't know anything about anything.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Yeah. Dome isn't making any decisions. The Obamas, the Pelosis of the world, they're making the decisions. Now, as far as Eric Holder, quote, missing all the stolen valor stuff. Well, remember, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of videotape of you if you're a modern congressman or governor today, because it's a videotaped world. We know way more now than we even knew last week about the vast stolen valor of Tim Walz's career. Here's him in 2007.
And both of you, with your keen understanding of how this works, especially from National Guard families, I can tell you this, having been one of those that came back, we were in support of OEF, but being sitting in there with OEF, OIF veterans, when we came back, they showed us the horse whisperer and told us to be nice when we went home. And that was...
When we came back? Really? How much PTSD treatment did you need, Tim, when you got back from your deployment in Italy? Was it the pepperoni that really, really messed your head up, Tim? I'm really curious. Was it the beautiful women? Or maybe it was the lakes? But was it too much of marinara? And Tim Walz needed some PTSD training for that? Tim Walz has been lying for a very long time. We'll play a couple more for you, and we'll again go over why they, quote, miss this next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Now, let's get back to what we were talking about. The video, the audio of Tim Walz pretending to be a combat veteran. It's not slowing down. It's ramping up because there's just so much of it. The man has made a career. And remember, Democrats love their military mascots. Democrats are the anti-America party. They understand that very well. They also understand that's bad branding. Of course, their base loves that, but they can't sell themselves to older veteran union type Democrats that way. So they love their military mascots like Tim Walz, who will pretend to be something he's not. This is also from 2007.
And this was early in this conflict in 2003, 2004, when my unit returned from being deployed, and part of the soldiers in the unit were combat related that were in that group that came back to the out processing station, and some were not, but we were all grouped together for that. And I think Dr. Bray brought up a good point. You don't check the box to stay as a medical hold. That's a given. And it was very difficult, even with physical injuries, to get people to do that. So that's something that we're working on here, and we brought up many times. But I think on the psychological part, and bringing up what Dr. Rosenberg was talking about, the idea of parity and where it's at, we had extensive physical screenings when we came back. What we got was a 20-minute talk from the chaplain, and they showed us the horse whisperer. That's it. That was the out process.
Poor Tim. That brutal, ghastly, bloody deployment he did in Italy. He wasn't given enough mental health counseling when he got back from Italy. Remember that time the pizza was kind of cold and so the cheese got rubbery and Tim didn't like that? He struggles with nightmares from that to this day. Poor Tim and the Italian campaign. Oh, this is one of his ads from 2006.
Hi, my name is Tim Walz, and I'm running for Congress here in southern Minnesota for several important reasons. But today I'd like to tell you about one issue that's very personal to me. I am a retired command sergeant major in the Minnesota National Guard.
Uh-oh. And back to what we were discussing last week. How could they miss this? How could Eric Holder miss this? You would put Eric Holder in charge of the vetting because, I mean, he's a freaking lawyer. What do lawyers know how to do? Swindle people out of money. No, I'm kidding. Lawyers know how to research. That's really what you do when you're a lawyer. You research, you read, you research, you read, and that's what Eric Holder has done. So you put Eric Holder in charge of this, hoping he'll uncover anything damaging that may come out about Walz before you pick him as VP. But like I said, to a communist like Eric Holder, to an America-hating communist like Eric Holder, the Tim Walz stuff is simply not a big deal. It's not a bother. Who cares about stolen valor if you stole the valor in a country you despise? It's not that Democrats didn't know about all this audio and video. They knew. They looked at it and thought, no big deal. I mean, look at the Rear Admiral Buttigieg. He's even on TV talking about
it. Does Senator Vance have a point when he said that we should hear more from Governor Walz himself or even Vice President Harris to correct the record there?
No, he doesn't. And the fact that a veteran wants to go out and disparage another veteran just goes against certainly.
Again, I'll let him continue. This is what I mean by military mascots. I did a show one time. Chris dug it up for me. I did a show one time titled The Shield talking about this. It's an older show. Chris will grab the date for me in a second because I forgot to write it down when he told me last week. But Democrats really love their shields. They're masters. Communists are masters at using shields like this. That's why, remember in their first time they were running against Trump, remember when they brought up the Gold Star family at the Democrat convention? This family, they just lost their son in Afghanistan. So immediately you're thinking, oh my gosh, that's wonderful. That's sad. That's horrible. I'm sorry, that's wonderful. That's horrible. That's sad. My heart breaks for them. And then it turns out they're two just horrible partisans who used every minute to trash Trump. So why would you bring them up? Because knowing they're a Gold Star family gives them that shield. You can't criticize them. Remember that Greta Thunberg? Not all the wires are touching with her, but remember when they rolled her out there to do all the commie green crap when she was, 15, 16 years old? Why'd they do that? Well, you can't insult a teenage girl. How could you insult a teenage girl? Why do they love guys like Tim Walz? He's a military mascot. He's a military shield. How could you insult a veteran? Of course, the Rear Admiral has to use that line.
Does Senator Vance have a point when he said that we should hear more from Governor Walz himself or even Vice President Harris to correct the record there?
No, he doesn't. And the fact that a veteran wants to go out and disparage another veteran just goes against certainly everything I learned during my time in service. Look, I think in many ways it's the exception that proves the rule. If the only thing that they can find about Tim Walz to complain about is to disparage his military record that was clearly honorable. Remember, you can retire at 20 years. Tim Walz served.
Yeah. It's bad. Oh, look, another one from Walz. He's done this, apparently, his entire career.
Sometimes an everyday person comes along and helps put the impossible within our reach. The coach, who could see a championship 3 years before the big game. The teacher, who inspires generations one by one. The soldier, who served for two decades, but ready when they attacked. Everyday heroes. Right here in Minnesota, Tim Walz is one of those everyday people. Coach to the state champs, teacher of the year, command sergeant major, retired.
Except he wasn't command sergeant major, and he was an assistant coach. Not that there's anything against assistant coach. Oh, as far as command sergeant major, his former battalion commander, Lieutenant Colonel, says, quote, "I can sit in the cockpit of an airplane. It does not make me a pilot." Similarly, when the demands of service and leadership at the highest level got real, he chose another path. Ooh, how could they possibly miss it? They didn't miss it at all. They read the same thing you read. They saw the same video you saw. They heard the same audio you heard. And it just goes to show you how the American communist is a completely different species because they saw something and heard something completely different than you saw and heard. When you find out somebody lied about their service, ran out on his men before he deployed, and then based his political ad campaigns on pretending to be a veteran who needed PTSD counseling when he returned from Italy, your blood pressure goes through the roof.
And both of you, with your keen understanding of how this works, especially from National Guard families, I can tell you this, having been one of those that came back, we were in support of OEF, but being sitting in there with OEF, OIF veterans, when we came back, they showed us the horse whisperer and told us to be nice when we went home. And that was the extent of it. That was in 2004. Now I'm...
Poor Tim. The American communist heard that audio just now as you're throwing up in the trash can. The American communist heard that and thought, well, whatever. Who cares? And this all comes back to the why. It's not just that they hate America. It's that everything to the communist is about the revolution. There's always a higher purpose. It's why they will kill and hurt and murder en masse, because it's about the revolution. It's why they will lie without end. It's about the revolution. These things are woven into the communist because the communist has convinced himself the revolution is the highest calling and anything done in service to the revolution is actually good. So you can lie, you can murder, you can hurt people, you can cheat, you can do whatever you have to do because after all, it's for the revolution. Yeah, he lied about serving. Who cares? It's for the revolution, baby. That's how the communist thinks. All right. I mean, we need to talk about J.D. Vance and this press tour he went on this weekend. He did outstanding, I should note, but there's something we have to talk about. Before we talk about that, let me talk about this. Let me talk about your testosterone levels. Because unless you're being active about them, they're low. There's very little you can do if you're just living normal life now to raise them up unless you're aware of it and trying to be purposeful about it because you're drinking estrogen. There's estrogen in our plastics. It's in our waters. We drink it. We shower in it. That's why T levels are free falling. You need to find a natural way to fix it. Chalk, they have a male vitality stack. 20% increase in your T levels in 90 days. Start working out, getting better sleep, a male vitality stack with breakfast every day, and you tell me how you feel in 90 days. I don't care if you are 90 or 20. Go jack your T levels up, fellas. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you huge discounts on subscriptions. Get one. 90 days. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. All right, I want to get to this because this is really, really important. It's important for you to hear, especially as you begin or continue your career of political activism. Maybe you'll run for office one day, but this is important for you to hear. It's really, 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 really important for elected Republicans all across the country to hear. Whether you are one of the U.S. senators who listens to this show, I know, isn't that freaking weird? U.S. senators listen to this show. Whether you're in the House, maybe you're on your school board, city council, state house, maybe you're a governor, I don't know. But it is so important you understand what I'm about to say, what we're about to talk about framing and labeling. Framing and labeling. J.D. Vance he's turned out to be an awesome pick for Donald Trump. He has been on message and dynamite on the campaign trail. He's been sharp. He's been awesome. So I want to be very clear about what I'm about to say. Yes, I'm going to criticize something about Vance, but I am so impressed. And you know this is me. I'd be more than happy to tell you if he's sucking it up. I think Vance has been awesome. But we have to discuss a total change of mind, a total change of heart, a total change in our mentality on the right when it comes to countering communist tactics. Listen to this. Listen to the American media, multiple people. Listen to them label J.D. Vance.
So there's been a lot of talk about racism and whatnot. You faced some really nasty stuff. I saw this thing that Nick Fuentes...
I'll pause for a second. I'll let him continue. Notice how he starts off right off the bat. There's been a lot of talk about racism. The communist is so good at this. He will bring something up. He will create a conversation, and then when the apparatchik reporter sits down, he'll say, man, lots of people are talking about this thing that he brought up. It's all the time. It would be like me walking in the building and saying to the security guard at the front desk, hey, I don't know if you've heard, but Jewish producer Chris, he has COVID. And then I walk up the elevator and I say, hey, the people on the elevator, did you hear Chris? He's got COVID right now. A lot of people are saying he's got COVID right now. And I walk in the studio. I start telling everyone, man, Chris has COVID. Can't believe Chris has COVID. And then soon, what's the building talking about? Hey, this guy has COVID. Chris has COVID. And I get a chance to talk to Chris. And I say, hey, Chris, a lot of people are saying you've got COVID. That's what the American media does. I'll let him start again so I won't interrupt this time.
So there's been a lot of talk about racism and whatnot. You faced some really nasty stuff. I saw this thing that Nick Fuentes, of course, he's an avowed white supremacist. He said, what kind of a man marries somebody named Usha? Clearly he doesn't value his racial identity, his heritage. I mean, this is racist garbage.
Yes, it is.
But this is also a guy that dined with Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago during this campaign.
See what he's doing already? Hey, the apparatchik, is doing the framing.
Well, Donald Trump doesn't know anything about and frankly doesn't care for.
Nick Fuentes, an avowed anti-Semite,
sure,
went after your wife. He had previously dined at Mar-a-Lago with Donald Trump. Does this have any room in your movement, in the MAGA movement?
Of course it doesn't have any room in the MAGA movement. And of course,
you disavow him and this.
And of course, Donald Trump has criticized this person. Look, I think the guy's a total loser. Certainly I disavow him. But if you ask me.
You hear what she did? They do this to Republicans all the time. and Republicans have no idea how to deal with this. They're asking you questions about terrible things because getting you to answer questions about terrible things associates you with those terrible things in the people who are listening to it. So if they continue to ask you, will you disavow this? Do you disavow it? You better disavow it. Do you disavow racism? Do you disavow this? Do you disavow white supremacy? What the apparatchik reporter is doing and what they know they're doing is they're labeling you as a racist and as a white supremacist. And if you continue to play this game, you're going to lose because the game cannot be won. They are framing you. And until you learn to turn that back around on them in horrible, in-your-face, uncomfortable ways, then you will never, ever, ever win the game because the communist has decided the field. They've decided the rules, and the communist referee is enforcing the communist rules. You can't win. If you, as a Republican, I don't care who you are, president, vice president, running for president, school board, if you ever, 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 ever find yourself disavowing something the American media has asked you to disavow, you have lost. I don't care how emphatically you disavow it. I don't care how articulate you are about disavowing it. I don't care how many times you repeat yourself, you disavow it. You cannot win that game. The only way to win is not to play, as the old saying used to go. It is reminiscent of Trump's first presidency when they had him disavowing white supremacy. Every single sit-down interview he sat down in, I don't care who it was, ABC, NBC, CBS, they would bring up Charlottesville, they would label him a racist, and they'd say, you should disavow this. Do you disavow this? And I remember, like it was yesterday, the exasperation on Trump's face as if they just weren't getting it. Yes, of course I disavow it. I disavow it. I already said I disavowed it. He's getting exasperated with them as if he doesn't know what they're doing. Because Republicans still to this day don't know what they're doing. They are associating you with despicable terms because they're labeling you. And you can disavow until you're blue in the face. It's never going to stop until you change your tactics. They're not going to change their tactics. Their tactics are working. You have to change your tactics. So how do we do that? What do we do? You're not going to like it. It's uncomfortable, but we'll talk about that next. Something else is unbelievably uncomfortable. I had a chance to have a conversation today with Abby Johnson. You know who Abby Johnson is? She used to be the director of Planned Parenthood, and she has since changed her life. She turned her life around, gave her life to Jesus, and now she's probably the biggest pro-life advocate in the country. She was talking to me about how many born alive abortions there are in this country. There's a lot. The number's probably in the thousands. We have to stop this. We have to do something to stop this. Preborn is out there giving free ultrasounds to women who are about to have an abortion. Giving the gift of life to this baby and their mother. $28 is what that ultrasound costs. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go give it. Preborn.com/Jesse. Another hour. Next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.